Rebert, I hope I announced or pronounced that correctly, from Emmanuel Baptist Church down in Winchester, Virginia. So why don't you come share with us?
Thank you. All right. All right. It is good to be with you this morning. I have enjoyed this song service. What a blessing. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible, if you would. Turn with me to the book of James. The book of James. Normally, I like to speak through a book start to finish. And obviously, we cannot do that today. I'm going to sort of catch you up with what's going on here in the book of James so far. James is writing to Christians who are living under intense persecution. They have been scattered, dispersed because of this persecution. This type of persecution is not something that we are familiar with in the United States, fortunately. We don't live under a dictatorship. We don't have a president so far that wants to hunt and catch Christians and put them to death. We're blessed in this country. So in the first chapter, James is encouraging them, stand firm in this intense trial, this intense persecution that you are under. God knows about it. And God is so powerful, He is so wise, that He can work all of these things together for your good. This trying of your faith, if you let it, will actually work steadfastness in your life. And this steadfast faith will be precious to you one day. He goes on to say that God is not tempting you to sin. So when you're angry because of the trial, don't be angry at God. Be careful how you respond. God's a good father. And we come to our text today, James chapter 1, verse 21, if you'd look at that with me. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We give you this time. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for the faithful people that are here. And Lord, I pray that you would meet with us today, that you would teach us from your word. Lord, I give this to you. You know I'm nervous. I give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says here, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So our topic this morning is going to be doing the word and hearing the word and obeying. But before that, James' premise is the reason you need to hear the word and obey the word is because the word has the power to save your soul. That's a big statement, isn't it? The word of God has the power to save your soul. The Word of God is of such quality and it is of such power that it can save your soul. Folks, what do you believe about the Word of God this morning? Do you know that your attitude toward the Word of God reveals much about your faith and it reveals much about your church? I hope we are in line with what the Bible says here. We value the Word of God. It has the power because it is the truth from God to us to change us, to save our soul. Notice the word here, implanted. This is speaking of a branch that is grafted into a tree. It's connected to the tree, that branch that's grafted in needs time and watering and protection, food for it to grow into what it is grafted in for in the first place. And what he's doing is he's speaking about believers. You need to receive this implanted word because it is powerful. You know, just like a branch is grafted into a tree, it's grafted in for a purpose. You are saved or grafted into the family of God for a purpose. And that purpose isn't for you alone. It's to bring glory to God and to become like Him. It's called sanctification. And you know this sanctification process, this changing process cannot happen unless you value the Word of God and that you take it in on a daily basis. You listen. You hear. So look with me, if you would. This is sort of leading up to our passage, verse 22. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. So you see the word hearer in the passage? That's the Greek word akrotai, from which we get our word auditor. Auditor. Now, when someone audits a class in college, they sit under the teaching, but they don't get credit for the class, do they? They're physically present, but they don't get the diploma. Do you know that churches today are filled with people who are hearing, auditing the Word of God? There's many different ways that you can hear the Word of God. Do you know that? In fact, many of them are represented here this morning. There is the almost persuaded hearer. He's the person sitting in the pew and he's hearing the Word of God, but he's, you know, I believe the Word of God is true in some areas, but, you know, I just don't know if in all areas, and he never really makes a commitment to obey. Then there's the deflector hearer. Those are they which hear the Word of God, but they're always thinking of someone else who needs to hear what the pastor is saying. You're familiar with that, right? I mean, the pastor, he's just waxing eloquent on something, and all the dudes sitting here are saying, you know what, keep it going, my wife needs it. Right? Okay, these youth in this church, man, they need it. These liberals, they need it. Conservatives, they need it. Right? And everything they hear is simply ammo for their gospel gun to shoot people with. Do you know that's something that we can all struggle with? Then there's the intellectual hearer. Notice, if you would, verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. So notice that phrase, looks intently. That has the idea of looking with a long look. This guy loves to see how the pieces fit together. He enjoys intellectual arguments about doctrine and about end times, but he rarely responds to the Word himself. He knows the Word of God. He can out-argue anyone, but man, is he empty. He's the intellectual hearer. So with all of the hearers that I've talked about this morning, there is a disconnect between their mind and their heart. And what does James say in our passage happens to the man who only ever hears and never obeys? Look what it says here. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. That's self-deception. So I want you to use your imagination. Imagine you are going to an expensive restaurant with your spouse. Man, you are meeting some friends there. Everyone is dressed up. You're having a wonderful time. Wonderful food. Wonderful fellowship. It's expensive food. The other people pay for it, which is even better. Okay, you walk home, you go home, you walk in your door, you look in the mirror, and you stop. Because when you open your mouth to smile at yourself because you look so great in the mirror, you have what looks like a half a head of lettuce sticking out of your teeth. Have you ever had that happen? Do you resemble that remark? Okay, I've had it happen. We're not talking about a little, like a piece of pepper. We're talking about a head of lettuce stick. And you look at your spouse and say, why did you not tell me? I can't see it. I can't see it, right? If you had that happen to you, and you feel so embarrassed, you know, here you were thinking everyone was laughing at your jokes. They weren't. They're laughing at this salad bar coming out of your mouth, this lettuce tooth that you have. You're not funny. You just got some funky stuff in your mouth. And you just feel, you can't see it. You know, self-deception is the hardest deception to spot. Believing things about ourselves which we really don't see is pretty difficult. And so what James is doing is he's coming alongside and he's saying, hey, can I tell you something that you're missing? Friend, if you are hearing the Word of God, but you are not doing the Word of God, you're self-deceived. And what is the nature of the deception? The deception is this simply. We believe that all God requires of me is that I hear or read the Word of God. That's it. All that God requires of me is that I attend. And today you got this balding bearded guy up here saying corny jokes and funny stories. And that God's good with that. And James is saying, you need to listen. There is a deception that's going on if you think that's what God requires. You know, there are probably some here who have attended this church for years. You've heard the Word of God preached. You've given money to this church. You love this church. But there's an emptiness inside. Because the Word you've heard preached has never traveled past your mind into your heart. You know the truth, but you've never believed it. You've never believed to the point that it makes you act, that you're changed. You know, I grew up as a pastor's kid. I'm still a pastor's kid. And I didn't get saved till I was 14, 15 years old. We lived in the church parsonage about 100 yards from the church. I attended every service. You know, I knew the facts about Jesus. There was so much hearing going on of the Word, but it was not real to me. One day, God drew me to Himself. I believed and I repented, and there was such a change. I not only began to hear, but I had the ability to obey, and I wanted to obey. I remember that. I remember all of the things that were such a struggle for me, the affections I had for doing wrong. God took those away, and He used the Word to do so. So before, I lived on the church property, but I was self-deceived. I heard the Word, but it had no root. I never did the Word. I never obeyed the Word. I could never obey. I had no affection. There was no life inside of me that wanted to obey. James talks about this. You're in chapter 1. Look with me, if you would, at verse 14 of chapter 2. So flip over to chapter 2, if you would. And look at verse 14. James says this, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone say he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." What is James saying? James is saying, folks, when God saves you, you have the ability and the desire not only to hear the Word of God taught, not only to read it, but you have the desire that comes from the inside to obey it. So some of you perhaps heard this and saying, okay, are you saying that James is saying all I need to do to go to heaven is to give someone a coat? Well, if that's what you're hearing, you're missing the point. I don't do right because I want to get to heaven. I'm already born again, and I know it, and that makes me want to do right. Do you see the difference? Folks, we can't talk about this passage of being self-deceived and not consider the fact that there may be people here who hear the Word so often, but they never obey it, and they can't. Because they're lost. They can try, they can strive, they can try to do good works, but they're always empty. I was that way. pastor's kid having to, when he's 14, 15 years old, say, you know what, I've been going to church since I was like 3 months, and I'm lost. Has there been a time where you have placed your faith in what Christ has done? Is there an affection for righteousness? Has there been a change in your life? I'm not preaching this to say, to put you down or to say, hey, listen, you're coming to church, you're not a Christian, what's wrong with you? No, we're glad that you're here. We want you to believe. I've been so blessed by these songs this morning. You guys have a blessing here with the music department, okay? And they can pay me later, take me out to lunch, whatever. But you do. No, you don't have to do that. Okay, you do. You have a blessing here, okay? And it was just my spirit was bearing witness as we were singing these songs that this stuff is true, right? And only a saved man can have that. You know, this danger of self-deception cannot happen only to good people attending the church that are lost. But this self-deception can happen to saved folk. You know, that James is writing to believers. He's writing to believers. And what he wants for them to understand is that the reason that God saved you was for His glory. But there is this great transformation that needs to be happening. Because He has created you with certain desires, certain longings for purpose, for peace, for joy, for connectedness, that only can come as He changes you into His Son's image. It's called sanctification. It's called Christ-likeness. And so that's why James is saying, listen, number one, if you have no affection to do what you hear, you need to check and see if you're in the faith. But he's talking to believers and saying, if you know that you're saved, there is a tendency for all of us to sort of wander from obeying, from wander from persevering. Okay? So he gives us an illustration. Look with me, James chapter 1 in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And he gives us an example. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and then goes away and at once forgets what he was like. So have you ever seen a 7-year-old boy, 8-year-old boy, whose mom says, all right, go to the bathroom, get ready for church? Have you seen that happen? The kid goes into the bathroom and he looks in the mirror, and what does he see? Okay, his hair's sticking up. He's got roosters everywhere. He's got crud in his eyes. His breath, it's a funky breath. And what does this 7 or 8-year-old boy normally do? I'm good to go. Right? Let's be honest. That's what happens, right? Okay, so listen, I got 3 sons. I know it's real, okay? That's what they do. That's okay. And then the mom like brings them back in and they're squirming and she's like fixing them all up. But what's the problem? Well, he sees what's wrong. But he just doesn't care to do anything about it. Or he sees what's wrong and he thinks it's fine. So James uses that illustration to talk to believers who hear the word but do not obey. And what does he use in this illustration? He says, the guy looks into a mirror. Now, what does a mirror do? Can the mirror, like, reach out and, like, fix your mess? I wish it could, right? That'd be an expensive mirror. I'd buy it. It can. It just reflects what's there. And do you know that the Word of God is a mirror? It's written by God, who designed you, who knows how you tick, who knows how you are supposed to live for you to be most happy and to be Christ-like. And he says, I want you to daily look into this mirror. And I got to tell you, when I look into the mirror, there's a lot of stuff I see that I don't like. And then it's my responsibility to do what? Say, hey, listen, man, I look good. And walk away? No, it's my responsibility to make some effort, not only to hear or to see, but to do, to obey. I think one of the main reasons why we as Christians struggle with this obedience thing all the time, okay, I'm just going to be honest with you, I'll tell you why I do, is because I think we think that perhaps it's not always worth the effort to obey. Do you know that obeying God is difficult at times? Like, can we not be honest at church? Or is it just me? Obeying God is difficult. He says crazy stuff like, love your wife unconditionally. I have a great wife. She's not difficult to love most of the time. Okay? But it's difficult, isn't it? It says, you know that anger problem that keeps resurfacing? Like as you're driving, I'll just be honest with you, we were driving from Winchester to here, it's 4 hours. And my kids, which are normally angels, were not angels in the van. Okay, it's like 4 hours cooped up with these people, and I'm thinking, why did we bring them along? That's wrong, I shouldn't say it, but that's what I thought, right? Like I'm supposed to go, I'm up here, I'm going to preach, and I've got to be all, you know, pious and spiritual, and I am having some evil thoughts in that van. And God says, hey, you know what? I understand. I have children, God says. But if you live like that, it does not please me. And it will eventually begin to turn your heart and your affections to a place where it does not need to go. And God holds out His word to us and says, will you trust me enough to obey what I say? Because, Steve, I created you with this longing in your heart for purpose and connectedness and to have a family that's at peace with one another and at peace with you. I created you for those desires. And if you will trust me and just stay in my word and just obey what I say, it'll happen. Look what he says here. James chapter 1, verse 24. For he looks at himself and goes his way and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and, what's the word? It starts with a P. Perseveres. If you persevere, what will happen? Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Have you ever had a problem with persevering? I do. Even though I know God's ways are best, I have a problem with persevering. Listen to this illustration. There was an Irish peddler who went from door to door selling his wares. He was met by a Christian who knew him. And after the regular greeting, the Christian remarked to the Irish peddler, "Hey, it's a grand thing to be saved, isn't it?" The peddler said, "It is, but I know of something better than that." "Better than being saved?" the Christian friend asked in astonishment. "What can possibly be better than that?" "The companionship of the man who saved me," was the unexpected reply. We need to embrace the word, but we will not persevere unless we stay close to the man who saved us. The closer we are, the easier it is to obey his law and to persevere. A king once asked a rebel who had been brought into his presence, he said, "Rebel, do you know that it is in my power to punish you?" The rebel replied, "Yes, it is, but it is not in your majesty's nature." So it is with Christians who stay close to Jesus Christ. It is in our power to sin, but slowly it becomes not in our nature. For the closer we are to Christ, the more we are like Him. Folks, what is your attitude toward the Word of God? I'd like to share a couple more passages with you before we close. Flip with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. So flip to the right, a couple of books, 2 Peter chapter 1. Look with me at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them ye may be partaker of the divine nature. Okay, so what did God give us to enable us to partake of His divine nature? What did He give us? Starts with a P, ends with an S. Promises, right? So where do you think you find the promises of God? Where? In the Word. Do you want the promises of God to enable you to start changing into what God wants? Do you want that? I think you do. Where do you find it? This is simple. Simple stuff. I knew I would be nervous. I got a simple message, so I could just like totally like wing it if I had to. Okay, where do we find the promises of God? We find it here. Okay, that's the first part. You need to hear the Word of God. Folks, some of you need to pay attention to the Word of God and you need to start reading it on a daily basis. Okay, it is not enough for us to come to church and listen and to sing without you taking daily the Word of God into your life. The Bible is such a powerful tool. In another passage, it alludes to the Word as being able to wash our mind, washing of the water by the Word. Do you know, I can't explain how the change has happened in my life. I can't explain it, but what I do know is that God has, over the long haul of my Christian life, used the Word of God to align my thinking into what it needs to be. He uses the Word of God to bolster my faith. He uses the Word of God to convict me and correct me. God's will for you is that you hear and that you read. But then there's the second part. So look with me at the same passage, 2 Peter 1. And look with me at verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. With virtue, knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. With self-control, steadfastness. With steadfastness, godliness. With godliness, with brotherly affection. With brotherly affection, with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Skip up to verse 5 again. For this very reason, make every effort. Now, to connect this with James, you hear and you do. Could we say that making an effort would be doing? It would be. He says, listen, all throughout Scripture there is a consistency. The Apostle Paul talks about it. James talks about it. Peter talks about it. He says, God has given you such a wonderful gift. It's in this Word. It is living. It is powerful. It is God's intention for you to take it in daily and facilitate this change into Christ's likeness. That's what's best for you. And they also say, not only reading it, but you need to make an effort to obey it. You know, it's easy for me to get up in the morning and go to my office and spend time with the Lord. But obeying it is probably the most difficult part. And I submit to you, as I said earlier in the message, the best way for Steve to obey is by walking as close to the Son as I can, by spending as much time with Him as I can, by worshiping with other people as I can, as He brings stuff up to me, submitting to them. Okay, hey, it's church, we're going to be real. So I was praying last night, yesterday, and God convicted me of something that wasn't necessarily right with someone else. So guess what I had to do? I had to get on my phone and I texted that person and said, hey, listen, we need to talk. Do you think I wanted to do that? No, it's my sister. That's embarrassing. I'm right. I'm the older guy. I'm the older brother. But God says, hey, listen, it doesn't work that way. If you want my presence, you want my blessing, you want my power, you want me and your family, you need to obey. And so when I tap on your heart's door, you've got to listen. Where are you? Do you know that God can give every person, every family, every marriage in this church something wonderful? But you got to do it His way. I don't know who I'm talking to, but perhaps already this week, God has been teaching you through the Word, or you've listened to a message on the radio, and it's saying, hey, guess what? You need to love your wife better. You need to stop being selfish. You need to love her. And you're like, you know what? I don't want to hear this. Guess what? You're not going to have the blessing of God that He wants for you in your marriage unless you hear and you obey. Okay? While I'm already in deep, I'll go farther. Right? There are some wives here that perhaps God has convicted you and said, you know what? You've got to be respectful to your husband. He's your head. Okay? You're equal before God, but he's your husband. Don't treat him that way. Right? Maybe there's some children here who God is talking to them and saying, you know what? You need to be more obedient to your parents. Okay, folks, I can from experience tell you that this word is living. And I can from experience tell you that it is difficult to obey, but it is rewarding to obey. There is nothing like having the peace of God in your heart. There is nothing like seeing God answer prayers, and you know it's because you've obeyed Him and you've prayed and you've done what you could do. There's nothing like that. I encourage you. I'll close with one illustration. So when me and my wife were first married, we bought this fixer-upper house. It is our lot in life to buy fixer-upper houses. I tell you, don't do it. So we had this young child, and we got this black Labrador dog, a puppy, and his name was Levi. We love Levi, but Levi grew. Do you know that Labradors grow? They do. And Levi would follow me around in the first year, and I would weed whack, string trim, however you guys say it up here, using a weed whacker. And he was fascinated by he couldn't see the string, he just saw the grass flying around. He was fascinated by it. And he constantly wanted to go investigate the weed whacker string as I was weed whacking. And I was always saying, no, stop it, you know, trying to kick him out of the way. Well, you know, 6 months of this go by and I'm tired of it. And I said, fine, you've heard what I say, you don't obey what I say, I'm going to let you investigate. Okay? Now listen, I'm not into cruelty to animals. Okay? You don't need to go talk to the pastor afterwards and be like, who is this guy? Okay? I'm not into that. But there's a healthy lesson that dog needed to learn, and he learned it. And he never, ever went back near that weed whacker. I'd like get it out of the shed, start it up, and he was gone. Right? Okay, hey, he heard what I said, and he would not obey what I said. You know, I cared for Levi, but I really didn't love Levi. God loves you. And he says so much to you. And if you do not listen to what he says, sometimes he just lets you investigate. Folks, don't do that. Obey what he says. You can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. God will help us. Foundational principle. be ye hearers of the word and not be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. I hope this was an encouragement to you. Thank you for listening. Let's pray.